Thank you, Cindy. I like that song. Last part's a little tough sometimes, but it's a great song. All right, turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. We'll pick up on the life of Joseph here in Genesis 39. I think, Lord willing, I think after Genesis, I'm going to start in the book of Matthew. So I might still beat Dean Dunn, but no. For Philippians, no, we won't. But Genesis chapter 39, and let's pray here. Father, we do thank you again for this morning, the visitors, the cadets you brought out, and just the visitors you drew in. And I think of some of the college students you brought in and these men heading back to Canada. Please keep them safe. Thank you that they were willing to take time out of their schedule to come in and to church, and I just pray that you'd bless them for that. And Lord, please be with us here tonight as we look at your word, God, and not just the story of a man, but a man that represents your son, Jesus Christ. So would you please get in it and bless it by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 39, and as we've done in the past, I'll go through and we'll kind of teach a chapter, not a lot in there, about historically what happened to Joseph and what's going on, and then we'll go back and cover the verses that where he was a type of Jesus Christ. Also, don't forget, before I go on, Nate Hudson will be here this Wednesday. So he's, again, our missionary to Brazil. I asked him if he could speak for 30 or 40 minutes. He's going to speak and give us an update. I don't know how long it will be, so depending on how long it is, we may get out early after we pray. I don't know. So just be ready. If it's really short, I'll get up and you know, have something ready. But otherwise, you're welcome. Have an early night. All right, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, we're familiar with the story, but Joseph is not, this is not a good time in his life. So his brothers have betrayed him. They might have roughed him up a little bit, whatever. They threw him down into a pit. They were going to kill him. But the one brother said, no, let's not kill him. You know, we don't want to do that. Let's instead sell him. So now Joseph is being sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take him down into Egypt, was the wrong direction to go. They take him down into Egypt, and he's sold to Potiphar, captain of the guard, to be, you know, a house servant, basically. Verse 2. And I like the first statement in verse 2. After we've seen everything that Joseph is going through and the bad time in Joseph's life, because we get this idea that if God is with me and God's blessing me and God's smiling on my life, everything is going well. But that's not the case. That doesn't mean that adversity isn't always caused by sin. Now, yes, a lot of times it is. It's maybe for judgment or to straighten us around. But sometimes it is God working in our lives. And when we pray, God, I need you to work in my life, and something bad happens. Can you imagine Joseph praying, God, you're giving me all these visions and all these dreams. God, help these to come to pass. Lord, I want to follow you. Okay, your brothers are going to betray you, Joseph. Joseph, you're going to be thrown into a pit. Joseph, you're going to be sold as to a slave, sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. Joseph, you're going to be taken down to Egypt and sold into the house of an Egyptian. Lord, are you sure? I'm going to try the spirits, God. But the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Just like we saw many times in the life of David, where that phrase showed up, and the Lord was with David, and the Lord was with David. And I think God was trying to show us, and you know, everybody during that time, that that adversity doesn't mean the absence of God. We can go through adversity, and God can be blessing our lives. God, we might be right where God wants us in the midst of the lowest point in our life. Now listen, Joseph, far as we know, he had done nothing wrong to, in a sense, deserve this, but God is testing him by adversity, and sometimes that's what it is. But it says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. So don't necessarily get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged when things aren't going the way we planned or the way we think our life should have went, or God, this isn't really what I had in mind. The other day, well, it's been about a month ago, Genesis was supposed to take a nap, and you know, she's pretty stubborn. She didn't want to take a nap, and I was kind of arguing with her. I said, hey, you need to lay down and take a nap. She said, but it's not my favorite. And sometimes that's how we are with God. God says, listen, I want you to go through this adversity, but God, that's not my favorite. I'd really rather not go through this, God. But the Lord can be with us in the midst of that, and that might be exactly what God wants us to do. Now, Joseph didn't know why God wanted him to go through that adversity. Joseph didn't see the end from the beginning. Joseph only knew he didn't like where he was, but the Lord was with him. Now, I don't know if God was telling Joseph that, but we get revealed that by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now, this is not talking about Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was a prosperous man, but it's saying Joseph, in the midst of being sold into slavery, being betrayed by his brothers, he was a prosperous man. In a low point in Joseph's life, God still caused him to prosper. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, keep your place here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I am sure that we as modern-day Christians, and not only just modern-day, but as American Christians, we are soft compared to most of the world. And for us, if everything is not going perfectly, we think something's wrong, and really everything might be just perfect when something's going wrong, and we just don't see it that way. Because we automatically equate discomfort with something going wrong. But that's not the way it is in God's schedule. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 7:20. He says, let every man, this is talking about servants or slaves, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. He said, art thou called being a servant? Which at this point in Joseph's life, he was. He said, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. He said, don't worry about it. He said, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. How many of you ever had a job or have a job that you really don't like? And maybe you have a rotten boss, you don't like where you're working. You know what? You need to still be the best example, the best worker you can be. You say, but you don't know my boss. Listen, I've had some bad bosses before, okay? I mean, genuinely bad bosses. But you say, well, what do? You go home and maybe complain to the wife, but no, you try to be the best employee you can for that person. Even though it's not the best of situations, but you still try to do the best you can because you're serving the Lord. And I think that's what Joseph sees in his life, that, you know, he doesn't understand why he's there, but you see that Joseph still is a good example no matter where he's at. Whether he's in the pit, whether he's in Potiphar's house, or whether he's in the prison, we know in this story that Joseph is the best person. God blesses him in everything that he does, and we'll see that as we go on. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. One more thought on this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, I know our tendency is if we were in a situation like Joseph, we'd be saying, hey, you know, this is, I'm the son of a rich man. I'm the son of a great man. You know who my dad is? We would be trying to get free. We don't see Joseph say that or do that or even try to escape or get back to his dad. He might have said, listen, I'm not supposed to be here. My brethren did this. I'm not actually a servant. I should be a free man. We don't see Joseph do that. And likewise, many times in Paul's life, when Paul was in trouble for the sake of the gospel, he never claimed his Roman citizenship. Now, if he got in trouble because of something else or he was in a tight spot, you see where Paul says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. And, you know, get out of that tight spot. But when it was for Christ's sake, Paul never used his Roman citizenship to get out of that situation. And so here we have in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. He says, and if they have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. In other words, just because your boss is a Christian doesn't mean that he should cut you a favor. You still need to serve him like you would any other. And he says, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is a proud, knowing nothing, and he goes on there. And the Bible even says, and if they, you know, if they have a froward boss, if they have a wicked boss, a lost boss, so much the more they need to be a good Christian example. Now turn back to Genesis chapter 39. So in all of this, Joseph had God by his side. The Lord was with him. You know, even churches that don't preach the prosperity gospel, a social gospel, they will preach that, hey, if you're doing everything right and God's happy with you, everything's going to go well. And that is absolutely a lie. That's just not true. Things can go wrong in your life, and that is still God's will, and God can still be with you, and God can still be blessing you, even though it may not appear that way. So we got to have the right Bible attitude about our lives when we go through adversity. Verse 2 again, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So you see here, it was noticed by Potiphar. He saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He took note of that. Now, he might not have said anything at the time, but he's like, that guy is different. And so Joseph had an impact upon Potiphar. It's just like over there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, when David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with David, and the Bible says, and Saul saw that David behaved himself wisely. And, of course, Saul despised David, but Saul, the Bible says, saw that the Lord was with David. He took notice of that. And so people will take notice. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now, you're not to do it to be seen of men, obviously. It's for the Lord's sake. But when we do it for the Lord's sake, you will be seen of men. They will take notice that God is with you, that God is blessing the things that you do. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, that's, of course, the Christ in us. That's our light is Christ in us. We're to be an example of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. Back at Genesis chapter 39, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now that's important to see. You say, why should... You say, I'm the only Christian at my job, and it really doesn't matter because nobody cares and nobody notices, and you know, I might try to witness, but nobody's listening, and so you can get discouraged. Listen, I know Joseph was not a Christian in the New Testament's sake, but he was a follower of the Lord in every sake of the Bible, and yet he was probably the only one in Potiphar's house that was this way, far as we know. It says, and it came to pass, verse 5, that after he made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for the Lord's sake. Do you realize that God may be blessing your boss's business because of you? Because you're serving the Lord. That business may be staying open. God may be taking care of that business, even though he might be a lost, wicked man, might be atheistic, might not love the Lord, might not even care about the Lord, but God can bless his business because of a Christian that works there. And that's an important thing to understand. Turn over to Genesis chapter 30. Let's look at a few references on this. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. It says, and Laban, of course this is Laban and Isaac here, or Laban and Jacob rather, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes. Now Laban was the father-in-law. And Laban tells Jacob, if I have found favor in thine eyes, Jacob, tarry, he says, stay with me. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now Laban, we know he did some things crooked, and he didn't portray things exactly as they were, but Laban said, listen, Jacob, I know that God's blessing me because of you. Now for him to admit that's pretty amazing for a man to do that. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. But again, God can bless somebody else, even someone who is not a Christian, not a believer, because of the sake of a Christian. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and look at verse 11. It says, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, was it because Obed-Edom was a good guy? No. Not necessarily. It says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So he was blessing him for the sake of another in that sense. Now let's look at it in the New Testament here. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. And look at verse 24. Now this is Paul. Of course, they're on the ship. They get in the storm and they're going out. Look at verse 24. Let's look at verse 23. Paul says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, he said, by the way, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know what he said? He goes, Paul, you're going to make it because you're going to go stand before Caesar. And by the way, he said, because of that, Paul, I'm going to save the life of all these men that are with you. Now, all those men, some of them wicked soldiers, some of, you know, Roman centurion, and they were keeping Paul as a slave. He says, Paul, all these guys are going to be saved because of you and the purpose I have for your life. Now, how do you know that God isn't doing that for you at your workplace or maybe where you, you know, go to school or different places that you do business, things like that, that God is blessing them for your sake because of the purpose he has in your life? And that's what he was doing for Joseph. Turn back to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. You know, there's no promises in the Bible for New Testament Christians per se like there is for Israel. You know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee, and like he gave to Abraham, no, I'll bless them that blesseth thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. But what about you guys that own your own business and people that are taking care of you so you can take care of your family? God might be blessing them just so they can take care of you and you can take care of your family. I mean, it could domino and have that ripple effect pretty far back. And we just don't know what God is doing and his design. But keep in mind that God is working in there, even in the bad times like he did in Joseph's life. Verse 5 again. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. This guy trusted Joseph so much, he says, all I know is, you know, the bread I got sitting on the counter. He said, everything else Joseph takes care of. He said, I don't have to worry about any of it. Joseph was a good man. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now here comes the temptation. Joseph is finally probably thinking, I'm getting back on my feet. God's blessing in his mind again. You know, I'm not in the pit. I'm not, you know, I am a servant in this man's house. And here comes the testing and the temptation in Joseph's life. And she laid her eyes on him. We talked about that before, about how our eyes can get us into trouble. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So she was tempting him. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not, means he knoweth not, what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, he said, his wife, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, Joseph had the right attitude about that. He said, how can I do this great wickedness? First of all, he refused. I mean, he was not saying, you know what? I deserve this. He didn't say that. He didn't act any way like he deserved, you know, that, or that it was a position that where he could get away with that. Joseph says, I'm not going to do this to my master and sin against the Lord. Now turn over to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. You're in Genesis, then go Exodus and Leviticus chapter 6. This is something that I believe we understand, but I don't think a lot of people understand that all sin, no matter who you do it against or who it hurts, all sin is still against God. And you'll even see in certain situations the people that it was perpetrated against aren't even mentioned, but God is. Now, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or he hath deceived his neighbor, and he goes on. But he said, if a soul sin, now he didn't say only this kind of sin is against God. And people talk about the unpardonable sin and the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and all. And we think there's certain sins that are, I sinned against the Lord, I'm in trouble now. No, all sin is against God. And he said here, if he lied to his neighbor, well, you say, well, he sinned against his neighbor. Yeah, he did. But ultimately, it's against God. All sin is against the Lord. Look at, Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, this one is a great example. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. Well, verse 12. He said, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Now, wait a minute. First of all, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. So he sinned against Bathsheba, and he sinned against Uriah in doing that. Then he calls Uriah in. Uriah, you know, he didn't fall into David's scheme, so he sent Uriah out, and he gets Uriah murdered. And David sinned against Uriah there again in getting him murdered. But yet David, in all of that, understood that what he did ultimately was against the Lord. Verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And so all sin is against God and has always been. Old Testament, New Testament, before the law, after the law, all sin ultimately is against God. Now that doesn't mean that you don't go and apologize to somebody that, you know, you maybe did something against or whatever. But our first responsibility is to get right with the Lord. That's why we talk about keeping short accounts with God. Back at Genesis chapter 39. So Joseph, good man, he refuses here, and he says, I'm not going to sin. Let's see, middle of verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now, I don't have any cross references there, but just keep in mind, this is one of the tactics of Satan, is to try and wear people down. Not necessarily hit you with it all at once, but just day by day, just little by little, and wear you down. Oh, just get used to it. Well, yeah, it doesn't bother me anymore. Yeah, I'm just used to it. And day by day, that's what she was hoping would happen, and eventually he would give in, but he wouldn't hearken unto her. Verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. That's a dangerous place to be. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, he did the right thing. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. So she lies about this situation. And I know this does happen in today's world. And that was one of the concerns when they called it the Me Too movement, where women were coming forward saying, I was abused, I was, you know, raped, whatever the case was. And other women, that encouraged them. And people were like, oh, well, women are going to be lying about this. Well, you know what the statistics are on that? Of the abuse that gets reported, 97% is true. Only 3% is a false accusation. So while it could happen like this, that is the small exception. I don't know if that's kind of the statistics you hear, but so it could happen, and it did happen in Joseph's case, but in our economy, usually the women are not lying about it. But she lied about Joseph because, first of all, he refused her advances, so that was an insult to this woman. She was the head of that household, apart from her husband, and here is a slave who was more righteous than she. This lowly Hebrew slave, and now she's first of all mad because he refused her advances, and she's probably under conviction because he did more right than she. And so she is angry. She's like, I'm going to get back at him, and I'm going to put him through the ringer. And so she falsely accuses him here. Verse 18, she says, and it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, she's telling Potiphar now, that he left his garment with me and fled. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, here's Potiphar, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, we don't know if it was kindled because maybe he knew his wife was this way and he knew she was lying about Joseph, or if he was genuinely angry at Joseph. But regardless of why his wrath was kindled, in verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Joseph's life is turned for the worse again, and look what shows up. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Every time things seem to go worse in Joseph's life, the Holy Spirit reminds us, hey, but this is exactly where God wants him. God, the Lord was with Joseph. You say, but did God want him to go through that adversity? I don't know. But I do know that God can cause the wrath of man to praise him. And God can use those things in our life to help us to grow stronger. So when those adversities come, we just say, God, help me. God, be with me. And he might be right in the midst of that. But the Lord was with Joseph, it says, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Let's look at one more reference on this. Turn to Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49. Joseph went through a lot of adversity, but in all of that, God was with him. And that's why we see here in Genesis chapter 49, looking at verse 22 to start off, he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over a wall. Joseph was running into adversity, and it says his branches, God just kept blessing him, and he went right over the wall there. He said, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. In a sense, this is how Joseph's life went. It says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And so you see the blessing that Joseph gets at the end of his father's life really directly reflects what he went through. And the strength that he gained from that and that God gave him in that to get through those adversities. I remember going through things years and years ago and thinking, this is the worst thing or the toughest thing I've had to do. I don't know if I can do this. And once God gets you through that and God strengthens you and helps you to grow in that, now you're ready for something worse, maybe, if I could put it that way, or a more testing, whatever it might be. But now to look back at those things, and I've been through worse things since then. But at the time, it seemed like the worst thing in my life. But because God was in it and God helped us to grow through it and to learn from it and be strengthened by it, now we can go on to do more things for the Lord. And so the Lord was with Joseph in all of that. Now verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Just like in Potiphar's house. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to any that was under his hand because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now this is very similar, this particular account, like the life of David, where David was anointed to be the king in Israel, but he went through all these things in his life. Now some of them were because of his own lack of faith, but in all of that, God was showing David how to be a better king, showing him how to be a better leader and a better ruler. And so when David steps into the kingdom, he was probably a better king than he would have been had he ascended to the throne right away. Now let's go back through here, and let's look just in this chapter. There's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 10 or 12 ways just in that chapter that Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ in what he went through. So let's go ahead and look at those. Back at verse 1, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard and Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. And so we had looked at this one before, but where he was sold. So he was sold out, and we had seen this in Genesis chapter 37, where he was sold for the 20 pieces of silver. And Nick said it was inflation that he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And that's probably a conservative figure, Nick, I'd say, in our day, in our economy. But like Christ, he was sold again. So he was sold out by his brethren. Acts chapter 10. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 10. So Christ went through a lot of adversity in his life. He was hated of his brethren, just like Joseph was. And we looked at that before. But Acts chapter 10. But yet Christ, we never question that God is with Jesus Christ, obviously. He's God manifest in the flesh. But all the adversity that Christ went through, God was with him in that. Acts chapter 10, and look at verse 38. They're talking about Christ here and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And just like Joseph, in the midst of everything he went through, both the good and the bad, God was with him in all of that. All right, look down at, look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Turn to the book of John, in chapter 10. So he saw that God was with him, and he made all to prosper in his hand, just like Christ as well. John chapter 10, and look at verse 41. John 10, 41. It says, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. So the things that Christ did prospered there. And then also look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. I'm thinking of a verse, and I'm not sure where it's at, where it said Christ grew both in favor with God and with man. And so he prospered as he grew. Isaiah 53. And Joseph, you see everything that he did, that he went in there and he grew in favor with the people that were there and with whoever he was under. Isaiah 53. And let's see here. Look down at verse 10. Isaiah 53:10. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, prophecy about Christ. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So even in the crucifixion, we know that God was pleased to allow Christ to do through that. But he said, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so he prospered in all of that. Joseph was overall, you don't need to turn to Genesis 39. I'll keep flipping back there. But Genesis 39, verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 now. Hebrews chapter 3. So everything that Potiphar had, he put into Joseph's hand. Everything that was in the prison, they put into Joseph's hand. It said if anything was done there, he was the doer of it. Hebrews chapter 3, and this also matches Christ. Hebrews 3, and let's look at verse 1. Hebrews 3:1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Now that also matches Joseph. As also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Verse 4, he says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things as God is God. And Moses, verily, was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And just like Joseph was faithful and everything was put into his hand. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God blessed the house of Potiphar for Joseph's sake. God blessed the keeper of the prison and the prison there for Joseph's sake. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, let me find it here. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we are blessed because of the Son. So as God blessed those people for Joseph's sake, we get blessed for Christ's sake. You know, God's not going to look at my life and say, I ought to bless that guy. The only reason that we are blessed, any of us, myself included, is because of Jesus Christ, for the Son's sake. Just like I was talking about this morning with going to somebody's house. I'm not going to get in because of my own merit or because of my name, but because of the name of Jesus Christ. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 16, I think, is where we want to start. Yeah, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm in Matthew 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. We'll try that one. That's probably better. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And just the same as all things were put under Joseph's hand, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So all things put under him. Turn to Luke chapter 4. You're just before Mark, then go Luke in chapter 4. So Joseph endured adversity and temptations, and Christ went through the same thing many times in his life. But Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now Christ was led into what typically is not a good place, the wilderness, but he was led by the Spirit. Just like Joseph, that God was with him when he went down into Egypt, down into the world, Christ is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and Joseph was down in Egypt, and he was tempted down there in the world. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and they were ended, he afterward hungered. So Christ was tempted, just like Joseph was tempted. God was with him, and God was with Christ down there. Hebrews chapter 4, you don't need to turn there. In Joseph's case, he didn't give in to the woman. He didn't hearken to her. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, who did no sin, or that there was no sin in him, in Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. So Joseph is a type of Christ in that way as well. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. When this woman saw that her advances were refused time and time again, and she got angry, she lied about Joseph, just as Jesus Christ was lied and falsely accused. Matthew chapter 26, and look at verse 60. Matthew 26:60. Well, look at verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, because he was innocent. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last, two false witnesses. And so Christ was falsely accused, the same as Joseph was. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 8 says he was in prison and to judgment. He went to prison and to judgment. And so Christ was in prison, same way that Joseph was put into prison. So type of the Christ there. He was bound. Joseph was bound, and Christ was bound. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Now let's look at one more, and then we'll finish up. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And really, if you wanted to look at every detail of what happened to Joseph, you can probably find more likenesses than what we cover of how he was a type of Christ. Acts chapter 2. But in all of that, the Lord was with Joseph. And the last verse of Genesis chapter 39, it said that he found mercy. God was merciful to him. And in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 25. Acts 2:25. It says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So in the like manner that Joseph was down in the prison, he was in the pit, and God eventually elevated him up, he found mercy in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same way, was not left in hell. God was merciful to him in that sense, and of course he was resurrected because he pleased God with his death on the cross. So all these ways that Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. But probably for us, what we need to see tonight is how that in all of that, all the things that happened to him, God was with him in that. So when you go out tomorrow or the next day or later this week and you get bad news, things turn, you know, completely upside down in your life, just remember what Joseph went through and what Christ went through, and yet God was with them in the midst of that. And not only was he with them in the midst of the adversity, it was his will for them to go through that. And so we need to keep that in mind in our lives. Now, if you hit your hand with a hammer, something like that, Jeff, if it happens, that might not be the Lord. But when things do turn bad in our lives, God can be with us in the midst of all those. And so we need to, by faith, Just say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what you're doing in my life, but teach me what you want me to learn. Help me to grow. Help me to get through this. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the comments by the Holy Spirit that you were with Joseph and all the things that if those happened in our lives, we may think that we were forsaken of the Lord. But God, you didn't forsake Joseph and you were